Reish Ayin Tes, and we're going to begin on Daf Ayin Ches on the base, about 10 lines from the bottom. The Gemara actually mentioned something we discussed yesterday. Tana Rabbanan, Moitzi Shtachoyv. Shtachoyv is a document, it's a loan document, that I owe you money. And the two terminologies that we have to be very familiar with today are malva and aloiva. A malva is the lender, and the loiva is the borrower. So says the Braisa, Moitzi Shtachoyv, if somebody carries a Shtachoyv in Shabbos, Achloi Paroi, if it's an unpaid document, Chayiv, there's a Chayiv for carrying. Misha Paroi, but if it's already paid, Potter. What's Pshat in Tanakama? Poshe Pshat, before you go deeper into the Gemara. Because a paid document, it's a useless piece of paper. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says, Af Misha Paroi, even if it's already a paid document, Chayiv, it still has value, Nesha Tzarchloi, it's needed. Now we have to understand what is it needed for. So the Gemara is going to say four pshatim in explaining the machloikis between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. My benayu, Om Rabbi Yosef. So the first pshat is Rabbi Yosef's pshat. The Gemara quotes a Gemara Masechta Ksubis. The Gemara Masechta Ksubis says, "Also lisha shtap ruah ikka benayu." Are you allowed to hold on to a document that was already paid? Tanaka Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan hold, also lisha shtap ruah. You're not allowed to hold on to a paid document. Why? As the Gemara in Masechta Ksubis quotes the Pasuk in Iyov, the Pasuk says, Al tishkoin behalecha avla. You should not allow in your home something that's wrong. A shtar perua, a paid document, if the malva is holding on to it, could lead to abuse. Because what does the shtar say? That I owe you money. Once I paid you, I don't owe you money. But let's say, and we're not talking about dishonest people, we're talking about even honest people. I paid you back today, and then you go through your documents a year later, you forgot that I paid you, and you'll take out the shtar and say, you know, you still owe me money. So holding on to a shtar perua can lead to danger, and that's why the Rabbanan say you have to throw it out, and if you have to throw it out, it's useless. Rabbi Yehuda Sover, Rabbi Yehuda holds, mutar lisha shtar perua. You're allowed to hold on to shtar perua, and therefore it's a worthwhile piece of paper. Why? We could use the mahalach that we learned in the Mishnah, because now it could be used as a battle cap. It could be used as a cover on a jar of perfume. Asks Rabbi Kivega a very posh takasha. Even according to Rabbonin that hold that also lisha shtar perua, that you now had to hold on to shtar perua, why do you have to throw it out? Just erase it. What's the problem with the shtar perua? That you're going to come use it again. But if you could erase it, then you won't use it again. So why do Rabbanon hold that this is a worthless piece of paper? It's not worthless. Erase it and use it as a battle cap. Or the Marshal says, similar type of question, take it, and like we would do, stamp on it, stamped, paid, and it won't be used again. That doesn't make it worthless. So the Mefarshim answer, the Isser, according to Rabbanon, of also lisha shtar perua b'tach b'esai is such a strong iser that you're not allowed to hold on to it even for a moment. So now it's Shabbos and you have this shtar perua in your house. You want to tell me I can erase the writing, I can stamp it paid, all that I can't do on Shabbos. And since the iser of shtar perua in the house is such a strong iser, I have no other choice but to throw it out. That's why the Gemara says, according to Rabbanan, it's worthless.
But if you did it during the week, you brought the paid.
Then you can hold on. Then you can keep it.
How will we get rid of it on Shabbos?
Throw it into the garbage. That you can do. Throw it into the garbage. Abai Amma, the Kula Amma, Oslish Shtar Perua. Everybody agrees that you now hold on to Shtar Perua. What is the question over here? A different question. Also, Gemara Masechta Ksubis. B'hoch v'moyd b'shtar shekosla shetzorch l'kayim k'miflegi. The question here is that if I, the loiva, agree that this shtar is an authentic shtar, but I say, you know what, I take a borrowed money from you, but I paid you back. What is the halacha? Tana kama sover, moid b'shtar shekosvoy, if I agree that I wrote the shtar, but I say I paid you, Tzorch l'kaimoy. Chazal require kiyum. Kiyum, as the Gemara Masechet Kesubos explains, how could it be accomplished? Either by bringing people who saw the transaction, or bringing people who can say testimony that this is the true signature of the witnesses. So the Tanna Kamma holds, without that, the shtar is useless, without the kiyum. And the Rishonim have two pshatim. And now the Malva knows that he doesn't have anybody could do kiyum on the shtar, so the shtar turns into a worthless piece of paper. Or, the Ramban says, even if the Malva is hoping that he'll find somebody that could do kiyum, right now he doesn't have anybody, and as long as he has no one, the piece of paper is worthless. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, holds, Moed v'shtar shekosvoy, if I agree that I wrote the shtar, ain't tzarch l'kaimoy. There's no requirement for kiyum. So if there's no requirement for kiyum, the shtar is a great shtar. Ask the Rishonim, if I'm saying that I wrote the shtar, but at the same time I also say I'm paying it, it's a classical case of pesha also peshiter, which means I'm the one that's saying the shtar is good, but at the same time I'm also saying that I paid it. So how could anybody say that kiyum is not required? So Rishonim answer that here there's a reason why it should require kiyum. Because normally what happens with a shtar? Normally with a shtar, after the loiver pays back to the malva gives him back the shtar. Here we're dealing with a situation that the malva is holding on to the shtar. So if the malva is holding on to the shtar, that is the proof that what I, the loiver, I'm saying is not true, and that's why kiyum is not required, according to Yehuda. Ask the Gemara, if that's pshat, my actually paro mishaparoi, the brisa began until it's paid or not paid. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, what it means is achiyom loiver parati for loiver parati, until the loiver admits that he paid or didn't pay. It's nothing to do with actual payment. Rava says a third pshat in explaining the machlokes of Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yehuda. The kul alma might be shtasha kosvoy shetzarch l'kaimoy. Everybody will agree that kiyum is required, and without that kiyum, the shtar is a worthless piece of paper. For hocha, what's the machlokes between Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda? Because v'n shoyver kamiflgi. Will we write a receipt? And there's a lot of ways of explaining the Gemara. We're going to explain it according to Rashi's preferred pshat. Tanakam sava kais fin shayver, Yehudam sava en kais fin shayver. Tanakam says that we write a receipt. So what happened over here? That I agreed that I owe you money. Now the shtar got lost. So the rabbanon hold that it's not a problem. Even if the shtar does get lost, or even if you're holding on to the shtar, you could always write a receipt, and that will be. And I still have to pay. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, holds that. So let's get the story straight. The malva says he lost the shtar. The loiva says, "I'll pay you." But how do I know that you don't have the shtar in your back pocket? And tomorrow you'll pull it out and you'll say that I still owe you the money. So the Malva says, no problem, I'll write you a receipt. That's what the Rabbanan say. Once the receipt is written, the shtar is worthless. The shtar is totally worthless. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a shoiver is not really a legitimate approach. Why is it not a legitimate approach? Because what happens now? The loiva is going to have to hold on to this receipt for the rest of his life. Because if he doesn't hold on to the receipt, the malva could always pull out the shtar and say, you didn't pay me. And if I don't have the receipt, I'm going to have to pay again. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda holds, we don't make the loiva pay back and hold on to receipt. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara, what happens over here is, the loiva first pays back to the malva, because as I said before, we're dealing with honest people. The loiva pays back to the malva, but he tells the malva, I expect to get back the shtar. And if you can't deliver the shtar, then you're going to have to give me back my money that I paid you. I'm giving you back the money, today's the due date, I'm paying you, but if you can't find the shtar, you're going to have to give me back the money. So this shtar is a very valuable document, because if he doesn't find the shtar, he's going to have to pay back the money that the loiva gave him. That's why Rabbi Yehuda holds that the shtar you shouldn't carry in Shabbos, it's a valuable document. That's the third approach. Rav Ashi says a different approach. Rashi says, "Mivnei shetzorch la'rois la'bal choyv sheni." The value of a shtar is not to the malva, The value of the shtad that's paid up is to the loiva. Because what happens? After the loiva pays back, the malva gives him the shtar. Now this is a wonderful piece of paper for the loiva. He could show it to anybody else and says, you see, I'm a person that's a good credit. This is the first credit rating. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says, that the shtar has value even if it was already paid. What's pshat in the Rabbanan? Rabbi Yehuda makes a lot of sense now. So the Rabbanan are going to say, true, it is a great credit rating for me, but on the other hand, it's also a great danger to me. Because if I lose the shtar, and the malva gets his hands on the shtar, I'm going to have to pay again. So forget about the credit rating if I'm going to lose. Because why would the loiva have the shtar back? The only time the loiva gets back the shtar is when he paid. The gavra para, now I'm a person that pays his loans. In fact, the achroinim ask that this pshat of the Gemara of Ashi's pshat is such a great pshat, it's so much better than all the other pshatim, and really it's Tosefta that says this pshat. So why do we need all the other pshatim? So two terutzim. One terutz is that sometimes, the Chasam Sofer says this, a loiva holding on to a shtar is not really a great credit rating report. Because we always could have people that outsmart the system. What's going to be if a loiva wants to build a good credit rating? He's going to go to a cipher and say, write a shtar that I owe, that Reuven owes Shimon money, and give it to me. And he's Reuven. So he'll get his credit rating, but he didn't really ever owe, and he never really paid. So that's why people realize that this is not a great proof, and that's why the other Amoraim did not want to agree with Ravashi's pshat. That's the Chasam Sofer's pshat. The Chodesh Aviv says another reason why Ravashi's pshat, what is the problem with Ravashi's pshat. Very nice pshat. The Gemara starts, the Braisa we began Shia today, Hamoichi Shtar Choyv Atshaloi Paroi. Somebody carries a Shtar Choyv that wasn't paid. Who are we talking about? The Malva. Mishaparoi, according to Rav Ashi, who's holding on to the shtar? The loiva. So it doesn't make sense. In one line, we're switching who's holding the shtar from the malva to the loiva. The way the other pshatim went, the entire brisa is only talking about the malva. So it makes sense. But this way, we have one brisa, one sentence, half of it referring to the malva, and half of it referring to the loiva. That's why the other meroyim did not like Rav Ashi's pshat. Continues the Gemara. Or, what we learned yesterday, the Mishnah, how much leather you carry out, today lasts as kameya, the amount that you need to cover a kameya. Begins the Gemara. Bamine Rav and Rav Nachman. Hamochi or Bekama. How much leather has to be carried out? And like Rashi explains, the question is just to lead up to further questions, because this is explicit in the Mishnah. Amlei, Kretan, like we learned in the Mishnah yesterday. Or today lasts as kameya, the amount of leather you need to make cover kameya. Ham avde Bekama. There's an issue of tanning leather on Shabbos. How much leather do you have to tan to be mechal Shabbos? Amlo loishna. It makes no difference. Amlo le'avdoi b'kama. If you carry out leather, because your goal is to tan it, so you have a piece of unprocessed leather, what is the shear? Amlo loishna. It makes no difference. Whether it's already processed or not processed. Ask the Gemara Menot Tamra, where do we have a precedent that there's no difference between processed and unprocessed? Ketnan, a Mishnah we're going to learn later in the Masechta. The Mishnah says, Hamalabin, somebody whitens material. But Menapitz means that he untangles, like, tangled up material. But Tzevei means to dye. But Tava means to weave. Shiurai, how much is the measurement that you should be chayiv in Shabbos? Kamalei roichav hasit kofel, the amount of the area between the index finger and the middle finger doubled. V'oirig, somebody who weaves on Shabbos, beis chutin, two threads. Again, what is the shear? Shiurai kamalei roichav hasit, the amount between the index finger and the middle finger. Alma, now here we're talking about material that was processed and wasn't processed. Yet the Mishnah doesn't differentiate. Why? Kivin the Tviyakoi, since it's going to be processed, Shiuri Ketev, it's already considered as if it was woven. Hokanami, Kivin the Laavdakoi, since it's going to be processed, this leather, Shiure Kimovit. Something that's like processed. Ask the Rav Shloi Lavda, if you want to take out a piece of leather that you have no intention of processing, what is the shear? So he says, Amalei Loishna. Also, the same shear. Ask the Gemara. V'loishani, is there no difference between ubit l'she'enim ubit, between something that was processed and that? Eisvei, I'll ask you a question. It says in the Braisa, Hamoitzi samanim shiruyim. The way they used to make dyes was they used to take herbs and let them sit in water. So if you take out already herbs that were steeped in water, what is the shear? Kedei l'tzvoy men dug mil ira. If you take enough dye that they used to take swatches, we still do it now, to show the color, that as a sample, that much dye you're chay for carrying. Vila b'samonim she'enish shurim, if it wasn't yet processed, what is the shear? Tanan, we learned, klipe egoizim v'klipe remoinim, the peels of pomegranates, the peels of walnuts, tisapua, these are different types of herbs, kedei l'tzpoy bag of cotton, the amount of dye you need to start to color a small baguette, l'fi sivcha, which is the amount you put on the head, the small piece of material that's worn on top of the hat. So you see there's a difference between processed and unprocessed. What are you saying by leather there is no difference? Says the Gemara, Utma Allah, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barvua, Lefish En Adam Terech, Lishus Samonim Lutzvoy Bam Dug Mil Ira. To go through the whole bother of preparing dye, just to have a little amount that you'll use for a sample, nobody's going to do that. So that's why there's a difference between processed and unprocessed. By leather there's no difference, so it's the same shear. Ask the Gemara, what about seeds of a garden? The Zerinu, the Mekam Zerinu, before they were planted, Tanan, the Mishnah says, Zeroy Nagina, what is the shear for carrying out seeds? Pox Mekirogris, less than a dried fig. Yudabem Seroimer, Chamisha, five seeds. Vila Basa the Zerinu Tanan, once they're already planted, we're going to learn a Mishnah tomorrow, Zevel, fertilizer, V'chol HaDak is sand, K'dei L'Zavel Ben Krach Shel Kruv, the amount that you need just to plant one head of cabbage, Divrei Rebbe Kiva, V'chol HaRemim, K'dei L'Zavel Kresha, the amount you need for one leek. So you see there's a difference between what's planted and not planted. Again, there's a difference between planted and not planted. Why? Planting is a bother, so I'm not taking one seed out to plant. But carrying leather, it makes no difference if it was processed or not. Ask the Gemara another question. Reitit, what about cement? The Mekam del Gabli, before it was mixed, Tanya, we learned yesterday, Maiden Chamel Rav Shimon, the Chamel Greet Rav Shimon, the Maitzim Shayv Chum Shus Rabim, if somebody carries out wastewater to Shus Rabim, Shishur B'Revius, that the Shir is Revius. Vavinabon, yesterday we asked, Shayv Chilamai Chazu, what is something going to do with wastewater? Vom Rabbi Yimiyo, what is going to be done? Lahagabal Benesatit, it's going to be used to make cement. So how much cement do you need? A decent amount. Really busted Gavli Tanya, once it's already been mixed into cement, we learned the shear is tit, it's a much smaller shear. Kedei lasses ben pi kor, just the amount that you need to put on top of the furnace. And so the Gemara, the same like we learned yesterday. Hosum nam kedamorin. Lefisha'anam tereich, legabav it's a tit, last by pi kor. There's a difference between making cement and cement that you already have. To go make cement, a person's not going to go make a cement, just a drop of cement. It's a big bother. If the cement already exists and you want to now go and carry it, so I'll carry a small amount. So all of these questions that the Gemara asked have been answered, because there's a difference by all these materials where processing them is a bother. So there's a difference between a processed material and an unprocessed material. However, by all, where there is no difference, it's the same. Says the Gemara, Toshma. There's three types of leather. Matzah, the chifa, the diftera. The Gemara is going to explain each one. What is matzah? Matzah says the Gemara k'mashmo, like we know by matzah. What is matzah that we have in Pesach? Totally without anything, just flour and water. Here too, this is leather that loy meliach, it hasn't been salted. The loy kameach, they didn't put flour on it. The loy offits, it hasn't gall nuts applied to it. And the mefarsh, the gross says, this is the makar, why we're makbid not to put salt into the matzah when we bake it. Because the Gemara says here, what is matzah? The loy meliach. Besides that, the Shulchan Aruch Rav and all the Pais can explain, salting speeds up the fermentation, the chametz process. So this is the one, the makar, the Gemara says, why you shouldn't put salt into matzah when you bake it. It's interesting, the Mefarshim ask on the Gemara, because it says that the carbon mincha was brought from matzah. And the halacha is that al kol kaboncha takriv melech. So you have to put salt in all your kabonis. If matzah by definition can't have salt, how could it have been called matzah? But again, we're saying that this unprocessed leather, what is the shear? The kama shear that you chai for carrying, tana shmur bar Yehuda, kadei lots of bamishkos katana. The amount that they used to weigh with putting on weights. They didn't want the weights to get rubbed out, so they put it in a leather pouch. The kama, what type of weight? Omar by river, the river to Pampadisa. A quarter of a liter of Pampadisa. Chifa is the next type of leather. What is that? The meliach. It's already been salted. However, it hasn't been put flour or gall nuts. The kamishur, what is the shur? Like we learned in our Mishnah. Or kadei lasis kameya, the amount that you cover a kameya with. Diftera is the next type of leather. The meliach, it's salted, the kameyach, and it's also been put in flour, the light offits. But it hasn't been used, it hasn't had gall nuts applied to it. The kamishur, what is the shear? Says the gemara kadei lichtav lavis aget. So where did Mepharshim explain? Here, we're dealing with a situation that you can't use it for Sefer Torah or Tefillin Mezuzahs because it hasn't been completely processed. So the smallest amount is to write a get. But Rashi explains, not the whole nusach of a get, which the first Tosfos Masechet Gittin says, generally a get has 12 lines. Here we just have the minimum get. What's the minimum get? His name, her name, the name of the city they live in, the date, and the words Harayat Mutaris L'Chaladam. But what do we see from here? What's relevant to our shiur today, that depending on the processing of the leather, there are different shiur. We learned before that all leather, processed and unprocessed, is the same. And that's the Maras Kasha. Ketonimis, that we learned here in this price that we just quoted, kidei lotzba meshkolos ketana, that you carry out the amount that you put a small weight. It's not all the same. Vam Rabbi, and like Rabbi said, river to river to Pambadisa. And like Tosfos explains, he doesn't even know why the Gemara had to repeat Abaye's line. Answer the Gemara, Hashem B'Bishula. There it's talking about leather that's moist. Leather that's moist, there is a difference if it's processed or unprocessed. But when it's hardened already, when it's processed, there won't be, when it's not moist anymore, won't make a difference. Ask the Gemara from another Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Himsech the Kalim. Habeged, what is the size of a piece of material? Tumakabal Tumas Medris. We spoke about Tumas Medris is when a Zov or somebody has Tumah coming out from his body and he sits on something, it gets Tumas Medris. So if it's a piece of material, Shloisha Shloisha Medris. The size for Tumas Medris is 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim. Hasak, by sackcloth, the shear is dalad dalad. 4 by 4 tefachim. Ha'or, the shear by leather is hey al hey, 5 by 5 tefachim. Mappets, a mat, was Vov Vov. Ben lemes. That is the shear to be susceptible to tumah, whether it's a tumah smedris or whether it's a tumah from a mess. The tani law, there's a brice that says, habeged vasak for or kishir le tumah kach shir le itzah. That the shear that is the shear susceptibility for tumah, the same shear is the shear for carrying. So you see, it's much larger than we're talking about. So you see, there is difference between different types of leathers. And says the Gemara, hahu bekatuvla. They were talking about leather that's been very hardened and won't be used for anything besides to sit on. So just to summarize where we're up to. There are three types of leather. Leather, which is very moist, that's the braisa that says it's used to cover a mishkoilus. Leather, which is processed and nice and soft, that's our mishnah, and the shear is to cover up a kameya, and it makes no difference, as we learned in today's shear, whether it's processed or unprocessed. Leather which is already hard, which you won't use to cover a kameya, that the shear is 3 tefachim or 4 tefachim, like we just learned in the Mishnah Masechta Kehilim. Continues the Gemara. Klaf, what is the shear for klaf? Kedei lichtav alav pash ketana. The amount of pace you need, Pashik Tana of Shabbat Tefillin, which we learned yesterday in the Mishnah, was Shema Yisrael. Before we begin the shiur, again, before we begin this part of the shiur, we have to familiarize ourselves with two items, klaf and duchtis. What is klaf and duchtis? When you take the skin of an animal and you split it, that's what you have, split leather, when you see on the belt, on the wallet, it says split leather. They split the skin. So this is why Tosfos and Rashi seemingly learned the Gemara. Other Rishonim learned different. We're going to learn this way. The outer half is called klaf, and the inner half, the part closer to the animal, is called duchtus. Vermini asked the Gemara a question. It says in a braisa, klaf duchtus, what's the shear? But klaf or duchtus, could they lift of a lot of mezuzah? So mezuzah is much larger than shema, because the mezuzah contains both shema and vahayiv and shemaya. Answers the Gemara, my mezuzah. What does the Gemara mean when it says mezuzah? It means mezuzah shebet tefillin. The mezuzah part that is in the tefillin. So it doesn't mean a mezuzah as we know a mezuzah. It means the parsha shema which is in the tefillin. So before we go further, the Rishash asks a great question. He says, why do we have to say this difficult teretz? As the Gemara is going to spend time now saying that when it says mezuzah, it doesn't mean mezuzah, it really means tefillin. I could tell you simpler teretz. The halach is that the klaf that's used for tefillin, that klaf has been prepared l'shma. It has been prepared l'shem tefillin. On the other hand, the klaf that's used for mezuzah doesn't have to be used l'shma. So why don't we say that we're talking about klaf, asked the Rishash, that wasn't made l'shma. So I can't use it for tefillin, because it wasn't made, it wasn't processed l'shma. The only thing I could use it for is for a mezuzah. And since I only could use it for a mezuzah, the shear is the size of mezuzah, which is shema, b'hafta, and volume shemaya. So Rishash has a simple teretz. We really quoted Rishash yesterday. If we're talking about leather that wasn't made l'shma, then I could use it for anything. So I don't have to use it for mezuzah either. I could use it for plain use either. And the shear should be kesher muchsin, a toll receipt, which is only two letters, as we explained yesterday. So obviously we're talking about leather. There was klaf that was made l'shma. If it was made l'shma, what do I need to be the size of mezuzah? The size of parasha shema should be enough. Of that, the Gemara says that when I say mezuzah, I taka don't mean mezuzah. I mean the mezuzah should be tefillin, the part of the tefillin. Ask the Gemara the obvious question: v'kol al tefillin mezuzah. If I mean tefillin, what am I calling mezuzah? Says the Gemara, in there is such a precedent, v'atanya, because we learned in a braisa, and it's good to review something we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. A while ago, amongst the Yud Ches Dover, we learned that Kisvei Kodesh, the holy scriptures, so to speak, are Metamas Yudayim. Chazal said they're Metama. Why? If you remember the Gemara, it's a good review. People weren't so learned. What they used to do was they used to put the Truma, which they knew was Kodesh, next to the Sfarim. They say, this is Kodesh and that is Kodesh, it's great. But what happened? The mice used to come to eat the food, the Truma, and would ruin the Sifrei Kodesh. So in order to prevent that, Chazal made a gzeira, it's amongst the Yud Ches Dover, that the Sifrei Kodesh are metame. That Sifrei Kodesh, if you touch them, you're metame. And that's how they separated them. So Gemara says there, Ritzus Tfilin, Ima Tfilin, if you have the straps of the Tfilin with the Tfilin, metamas is Yadayim, the metame the Yadayim. However, Bifnei Atzmam, if you have the straps alone, a metamas Yadayim. Then this gzeira doesn't apply. Rav Shimon, Yehudai Mishim Rav Shimon, even if you're touching the straps, even when they're connected to the tefillin, you tar, actually give a tzitza, until you actually touch the backs of the tefillin. Rav Zakai, Mishmai Omer, tar, even if you touch the backs, you still remain tar, actually you got a mezuzah atzma, until you touch the mezuzah. Now we're talking about tefillin, and you're calling a mezuzah. So you see that the mezuzah could be called, the word mezuzah could apply to tefillin also. Ask the Gemara, let's go further. We began the Gemara today, this Amid, with a Braisa. Let's continue learning that Braisa. The Amid Tani Sefer, what does it say further in the Sefer? Klaf, what is the Shia by Klaf? Today, Licht of Allah, Pashik Tanam Shabbat Tefillin. The amount of Klaf you need to write the Pashik Tanam Shabbat Tefillin, Shishma Yisrael. So you see that this Braisa, when he wants to call something Tefillin, he doesn't call it Mezuzah, he calls it Tefillin. So obviously in the ratio when the Braisa said mezuzah, it meant mezuzah, not tefillin. So we're back to our kasha, mechlal, the ratio, the mezuzah atzma kaskinen. And we're saying that the shear is to write a mezuzah. And now we are back to our question, why is the shear to write a mezuzah? The shear should be a tefillin like we learned in our Mishnah. Answer the Gemara, hachtani. Klaf v'duchtos ha-shear v'kama. The Gemara is separating. There's a different shear for klaf, and there's a different shear for duchtus. Duchtus, which can't be used for tefillin, as we're going to learn in the next sugya, is kedei lichta v'la mezuzah, the amount of air you need to write a mezuzah. Klaf, which can be used for tefillin, what is the shear? Kedei lichta v'la pashik tanish v'tefillin, shishma Yisrael. So now the answer is very simple. A tuchstis can't be used for tefillin. It can only be used for mezuzah. So then the shear is the amount you need for a mezuzah. Cloth, which can be used for tefillin, so then we follow the shear, the smaller shear, which is Pashish Ma Yisrael. Omer Rav begins the Gemara. Rav makes a statement. Tuchstis harek cloth. The tuchstis and cloth have the same din. Ma cloth koisim lof tefillin. Just like on cloth we write tefillin, af tuchstis koisim lof tefillin. So Rav, right now, this is the way the Gemara is learning, holds that cloth and duchtas are kosher both for tefillin and mezuzah. Ask the Gemara, Tanan, cloth k'day lichtor lo pash k'tan shabat tefillin, shishma Yisrael. So you see that you use only cloth for tefillin, not duchtas. And says the Gemara, that's l'mitzvah. The preferable way is for tefillin you should use cloth. When Rav made the statement that you could use duchtas, it's kosher, but it's not the best way. Toshma, so the Gemara quotes the Braisa. The Braisa says, Halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai, tefillin ala klaf. Tefillin should be written on klaf, mezuzah ala duchtas. And mezuzah should be written on duchtas. Continues the Braisa. Klaf b'mokim basar, duchtas b'mokim seir. What does this mean? Like this. We before, at the beginning of this Amid, explained what is the klaf and what is the duchtas. And how do we explain it? That you split the hide. The outer half is the klaf, the inner half is the duchtas. But so now I have two pieces. But in the two pieces, you have two sides of each piece. You have the outer side and the inner side. So Gemara is saying the klaf is the inner side, it's the part that was towards the animal, and the duchtas is the outer side of the klaf, the part that's facing outside. So essentially what we're saying is that the klaf and duchtas touch each other until the split. And when you split it, you have the klaf on your right side, and you have the duchtas on your left side. That's what the Gemara says. Klaf b'mokim basar. The klaf, on which part do you write? On the part facing the inside of the animal. Duchtas, on which part do you write? B'mokim seir. The part facing the outside of the hair. But what do we see here? That you could only use tefillin ala klaf, not on duchtas. Says the Gemara, again, l'mitzvah. It's only, what the Braisa means is what's preferable. But it doesn't mean that it's not kosher if you wrote it on a duchtas. Ask the Gemara of a Tanya Shin apostle. It says that if you did differently, that's apostle. Says the Gemara, a mezuzah. What it means if you did apostles only on a mezuzah. But tefillin, the Gemara is saying right now, if you wrote on duchtas, would still be kosher. Ask the Gemara, now we have no materets. For Tanya Shin b'zeh apostle, both ways. What does the Braisa seemingly mean? That if you wrote mezuzah on klaf, or you wrote tefillin on duchtas. And both ways the Braisa is saying is pasul. Says, well, no, that's not what it means. Edd mezuzah. Both are referring to the mezuzah. V'har de kesvinu klaf on the mezuzah. V'har de kesvinu klaf b'makom seir. If you wrote the mezuzah on the klaf b'makom seir, it's also pasul. Inami, another way, it's a duchtas. You wrote it on duchtas, which would say now what you're supposed to write it on, but you didn't write it on the part facing the outside of the animal. You wrote it on the part, but makom basar, on the part facing inside. But we're only talking about mezuzahs. Right now, we're still learning that b'di'eved you could write tefillin on duchtas. Even though the Mefarshim say that this is a very interesting situation, because it's one of the only places that we ever find. We're saying that this is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Generally, Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, this is the rule. Here we're saying, in Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, L'chatchila and B'di'evitz. And we're saying, L'chatchila, you should write tefillin on klaf, and B'di'evitz on duchtas. V'ba Yisema, another answer. Shina b'zeh b'zeh t'noihi. The Halacha, if your taka wrote tefillin on duchtas, is a machlokes t'noim. The Tanya, Shina b'zeh b'zeh, if you've made a change, that means you wrote mezuzah on klaf, or tefillin on duchtas, it's possible. Rav Acha machshim shem Rav Acha bar Rechina. So Rav Acha said it's kosher. V'amalei mishem Rav Yaakov bar Rechina. And Rav will hold like this Tana. Rav Papa Amar Rav. Rav Papa goes back to explain Rav's statement at the beginning of this piece of Gemara, and he's going to say that Rav holds like the Tana Bei Menashe. The Tana, the Tana Bei Menashe wrote, said, "Kosfal anayir, if tefillin were written on a piece of paper, v'la matlas is a rag, psula, ala klaf, v'ala gvil, v'al duchtas, Here it says that both klaf and duchsus ksheira. Now, the question is, kostamai, what is the Tana ben Menashe referring to? I already jumped ahead. Ilay mezuzah, if you can tell me that he's referring to mezuzah, ask the Gemara, mezuzah klaf mikasfinin. We just finished learning that the mezuzah should only be written on duchsus, not on klaf. Elav, tefillin. It must be talking about tefillin. And why does the Tana ben Menashe say that if you wrote the tefillin on duchsus, it's kosher? Ask the Gemara, u'tameich, tefillin akvil mikasfinin. Gvil is something that was only partially processed, and yet the braisa says it's kosher, and we know that tefillin is supposed to be on klaf. Says the Gemara, that braisa doesn't have anything to do with tefillin. El kitanya he b'sefer Torah. That braisa is talking about a sefer Torah. Leim m'sayle, and I'll bring you a proof to that. Kiyotzba, it says in the braisa, tefillin shabalu, if the tefillin got ruined, of the sefer Torah shabalu, or the sefer Torah got ruined, ain oisim mezuzah, you're not allowed to use that for mezuzah. Why you're not allowed to use it for mezuzah? Lefish ein merid mekedusha chamura lekedusha kala. Tefillin and sefer Torah are a higher level of kedusha than a mezuzah, and you shouldn't take something which is a higher level and demote it to a lower level. Now let's learn the brisa. Tama, what's the reason? De meridin, that you're not allowed to lower it. Ha meridin, if you wouldn't have the problem that there's an iser to demote the level of kedusha, oisim, it wouldn't be a problem. Now the question is what? Diksiva mai, exactly on what piece of what type of a article was this written on, the Sefer Torah? Lav diksiva duchtus. It was written on duchtus. So you see that it's kosher. Says the Maloi, diksiva klaf. Ask the Gemara, it's a klaf. So then I shouldn't be allowed to use it for mezuzah, not because of the problem of emeridin, mezuzah klaf mikasfidin. The way we've been learning till now, you're not allowed to use the mezuzah, you're not allowed to use a klaf for mezuzah. So tomorrow we're going to change that in. You're allowed to use a klaf for mezuzah. For Tanya, and that, not a Gemara quotes a braisa, but Tanya is not a kasha, it's a raya. Kosval a klaf, if it was written on a klaf, ala nayir of amatnas, psula. Omer of Shimon ben Elazar, Ramei are your kosher for a klaf. Ramei would write the mezuzah on a klaf. Why? Nishim mishtameris. So now we change everything we learned. Till now we learned that the mezuzah had to be written on a duchtus. Now we're saying the mezuzah does not have to be written on a duchtus. Says the Gemara, if that's what we were up to, hashtadas lahochi l'rav nami loitema. Duchtus areke klaf. Don't say the duchtus is klaf. Aleima klaf areke duchtus. What Rav meant to say was, ma duchtus kaisel la mezuzah, because everybody agrees that you can write mezuzah on duchtus. Av klaf, the halacha will be kaisel la mezuzah. So I just want to quote a very interesting taisus. Two interesting taisus. First taisus says, we have a very interesting phenomena. The Gemara started, Omer Rav duchtus areke klaf. Ma klaf kaisel la tefillin, af duchtus kaisel la tefillin. How did the Gemara, that we were learning a halacha in tefillin, and saying that not only could tefillin be written on a klaf, it could even be written on duchtus. How does the Gemara end? The Gemara says we're not talking about tefillin, we're talking about mezuzah. I'm saying that just like mezuzah could be written on duchtus, it could be written on a klaf. But that's not what Rav said. So Taisa says what happened here was, Rav made a statement where he compared klaf to duchtus. That's all he did. Nobody knew what he meant. So first they thought that he was making comparison as far as Hilchus Tefillin is concerned. Then they realized that it had nothing to do with Hilchus Tefillin, it had to do with Hilchus Mezuzah. The other Taisus discusses, the Gemara says, Sefer Torah Shabbalah, if the Sefer Torah got ruined, and the Gemara asked the question, could I use it to make a mezuzah? So the question is, you have a ruined Sefer Torah, it's missing words, but the Parsha of Ahavta and the Parsha of Shema are not near each other. So how are you going to get them close? So Rashi learns that you'll take the Parsha of Ahavta, which remains whole, and you'll take the Parsha of Ahayim Shemaya, and you'll sew those pieces of parchment together. That's how Rashi learns. Taisus learns differently. What happens is either you'll take the Parsha of Shema, and you'll write the Ahayim Shemaya under it. Now, let's say you'll have a Uri of a Sefer Torah. Imagine a Uri of a Sefer Torah. Shema of Ahavta is still okay. The rest of the piece of paper, the rest of the Uri, all the letters fell out, and you'll write Vahayim Shemaya, or vice versa. You'll have a Uri that has Vahayim Shemaya left, and you'll write Shema on top of it. Oh, very good. Ask the Taz on Taisvis, Rabbi Gorelick's question. The halacha is that it has to be kesedron. By mezuzah, it has to be kesedron. So how could Tosfos say that you'll have vayim shmoya and then you'll put shema on top of it? It's not kesedron. So the Taz says, but it's not the way we paskin, that shaloi kesedron means in one parasha that if I'm writing vahafta, I have to remain in order. I can't write the second pasuk before the first pasuk. But if I'm writing the whole parasha vahafta and I'm writing the whole parasha vayim shmoya, the Tosfos will hold, says the Taz, you could write vahayim shmoya, the whole parasha, before you write the whole parasha vahafta. We don't paskin that way. We paskin that there has to be kesedron and you have to write the parasha of vahafta before you write the parasha of Vayim Shemaya. There's one more interesting shaila, the Mepharshim HaMedayik here. Two. First of all, the Sfas Emes says, Sefer Torah Shabbalah, that we say you're not allowed to turn into a tefillah, you're not allowed to turn into a mezuzah. Ask the Sfas Emes, is it Dafka Sefer Torah that was written and used, or if it was written and never used, what's going to be the halacha? When you talk about a Sefer Torah Shabbalah, is it a Sefer Torah that was already used or just written? And the other shaila is, a deek in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Sefer Torah Shabbalah, you're not allowed to turn it into a mezuzah. What's going to be the halacha, Sefer Torah Shabbalah, you're allowed to turn it into tefillin? The Gemara seems to say, you're not allowed to turn it into a mezuzah. What would be the halacha, Sefer Torah Shabbalah, are you allowed to use them for tefillin? What? Is that considered the same Kedusha, or is tefillin considered a Hayurada and will be Asr? Awesome?